could come sit down. Say good morning. Change it up. Give people a chance to settle. Say good morning to your neighbor. When was the last time we did that? Say good morning to your neighbor. Shake some hands. We can do handshaking again, right? Elbows, fist bumps, wave. Well, welcome everyone to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church this Sunday, October 29th, 2023. Welcome to any visitors with us. Announcements. Just please read your bulletin for church office announcements, including the Eternity Sunday service information. Also note the Bethany Borscht Sale and Bazaar dates and times, and Community Care is also looking for packaged and canned food and hygiene donations. So let's fill up that barrel in the narthex. Today I'm reading Psalm 90, verses 1 to 6 and 13 to 17. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but the evening it is dry and withered. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let us pray. Lord God, you are ever present in our lives. You seek us, love us, and teach us. You give us the gift of Jesus Christ and the salvation he extends to all who ask for forgiveness of sins and who accept him into hearts and lives. You give us the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide and counsel us. You give us the gift of your holy word so we could follow you and be near you as you are near us. You are forever faithful. Forgive us, provide for us, and watch over us. Help us to hear your words today and to see and act on opportunities to give assistance where we can, where you lead us. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you bestow on us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
We invite you to stand with us this morning as we sing our first two songs.
My righteousness. born. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Please be seated.
you've come to bring peace, to be love, to be nearer to us. And you've come to bring life, to be light, to shine brighter in us. So find our strength over everything, our redemption, God with us. You are God with us. You've come to be hope to this world, for your honor and name that you've come take sin, to bear shame, and to conquer the grave. Oh, Emmanuel, God with us. Our deliverer, you are Savior. In your presence we find our strength. Over everything, our redemption, God with us. You are God with us. You are here, you are holy. We are standing in your glory. You are here, you are holy. We are standing in your glory. You are here, you are holy. We are standing in your glory. We are here, you are holy. We are standing in your glory, Lord. Our deliverer, you are Savior. In your presence we find our strength. Over everything, our redemption, God with us. You are God with us. Oh God with us. You are God.
The children, please come forward for children's story.
Oh, good morning, everyone. So exciting. You know, I brought a little treat along today that I wanted to share with you. So I'm just going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, I think we're good. I think I should be fine if I hold, there's my bag. I think there are 10 in here, so this should work out great. But, you know, I don't know, they're kind of, I really like Mars bars. I think they're great. I don't know. What do you think about this? Would this be fair? I mean, I'm bigger than all of you. So I'm, how about, if you guys, maybe you took one per family and cut it in half and shared one, would that be good? And then I'll just take the rest home with me. Is that fair?
If there's 10, you
said
2
of each get one. Did I mention I really like them? Is that, come on, Cornelsons, I've heard about the candy tax at your house. I've heard. That's the word on the street. You know what? It's a very interesting thing when we talk about sharing things fairly, especially when we like them. You're right, Cal, and that's a super fair way to do it. But often in our world, things don't quite go that fairly. They're not divided up one exactly per person. And in the Bible today, we're going to be hearing a story. Remember, we're talking about Nehemiah and about how he's trying to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and get it all back to its former glory. And, well, some people who were in charge decided that one of the ways that they were going to take care of this is doing a super grown-up thing called tax. And tax is, well, I don't think anybody out there really likes it very much, but it's sort of like that idea of taking a lot for me and giving you a little to share. They didn't do it very fairly at all. And in the story, Nehemiah does the right thing, and he goes and says, hey, this isn't fair, and he stands up for what's right. So I've been thinking about, besides chocolate and candy and that kind of thing for us, how do we stand up for what's right or what's fair in our world? How do we do that as kids? And it might be tough, right? Because we think, well, I'm only a kid. Who's going to listen to me? But I've got to tell you, there are lots of times when I've seen kids, and you've probably had it too, where maybe you've seen something unfair happening. Like, have you ever seen someone who hasn't been invited to come and play a game? Who's maybe alone on the playground? Yeah, you've seen that. I'm seeing some thumbs up. You know what? That does happen. Or have you ever seen someone being picked on and being treated poorly? Mm-hmm. And, you know, being brave and standing up for what's right might just mean going over and being a friend to that person or saying to the kids that are doing the picking to say, hey, stop that. That's not fair. So we can stand up for what's right and for what's fair, too. All right, let's bow our heads and we can pray together. God, thank you so much for bringing us all these chances to be good Christians with our friends and just to support people when things aren't fair. Help us to be brave, to help others who are in need. Amen. All right, you can have one each. I will share. There you go.
Thought it was the scripture reading. I was wondering why no one was coming forward. Well, friends, we'll now have our time to pray, and we also have a moment now to share. So if you have any prayer requests that you're comfortable sharing with the community or any praises that you would like to share, just raise your hand and we'll have a microphone get to you. And otherwise, if you have requests that you would like to share, but you're less comfortable sharing in front of everyone, please email them to us. If you want those in the bulletin so the community can pray for you, we can do that, or we can just have it where some of the staff and the leaders pray for you. We just want you to know that you are cared for. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to share? Oh, over there we have someone. Thank you.
Week. On behalf of Marlies and myself and family, we would like to thank Pastor Tim and our church family, all of you, for your compassion, kindness, and love in support of us in the passing of Fred Berg. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you. Okay, well, let's pray together. I'll lead us in prayer, and then I'll invite you to pray with me the Lord's Prayer. We'll have that up on the screen, and you're welcome to pray that in whatever version you're most comfortable with, or even whatever language is the language of your heart. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good. Spirit, we thank you that you are near. Lord, continue to be near the brokenhearted. Continue to be near to us. Open our eyes and our hearts so that we may be your hands and feet of love to our neighbors. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to find ways of being peacemakers, even in a world so filled with war and violence and despair. Lord, help us to not despair, but instead to find opportunities to love. We pray that we would see your kingdom sprout up of new hope, new life, new peace, new joy, new justice all around us, and that we'd be able to participate in that. Lord, be with the brokenhearted. Be with those who are sick and hurting. Lord, have mercy. Friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. I will be a much taller Liz Kopechne this morning. I'm reading from Nehemiah 5. Now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. Some were saying, "We and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain." Others were saying, "We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine." Still others were saying, "We have to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards." Although we are of the same flesh and blood as our countrymen, and though our sons are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others. When I heard their outcry of these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, "You are exacting usury from your own countrymen." So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, "As far as possible, we have bought back our Jewish brothers who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your brothers only for them to be sold back to us." They kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. So I continued, "What you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain, but let the exacting of usury stop. Give back to them immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses, and also the usury you are charging them, the 100th part of the money, grain, new wine, and oil." "We will give it back," they said, "and we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say." Then I summoned the priests and made the nobles and officials take an oath to do what they had promised. I also took out the folds of my robe and said, "In this way, may God shake out of his house and possessions every man who does not keep his promise. So may such a man be shaken out and emptied." At this, the whole assembly said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. And the people did as they had promised. Moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, until his 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to the food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people. But out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. All my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, six choice sheep, some poultry were prepared for me, and every 10 days, an abundant supply of wine of all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor, because the demands were heavy on these people. Remember me with favor, O my God, and all I have done for these people.
Today we continue through this story in Nehemiah, looking at injustice, looking at what it means to stand up for justice. But what is justice? If someone asked you that, how would you define it? And maybe more importantly, what does justice have to do with me? How does that affect me personally? What am I supposed to do with that? So some background again on this passage. We see God's chosen people, the Israelites, the Jewish people, who have been delivered out of slavery with a purpose, to be a light to the nations, to be an example to others, pointing toward God. But time and time again, they have been unfaithful. And even after warnings, they continue to be unfaithful. So Babylon invades, and they are carried off into exile, most of the people. But during their time in exile, their time in Babylon and throughout the Babylonian world, there's this hope that they'll have the opportunity to return home, an opportunity to be faithful in being a light to the nations. And later we see the Babylonian Empire fall, to be taken over by the Persian Empire. And at this point, we start to see a little bit more favor come upon some of the Jewish people. In the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, again, it was one scroll together that we have separated, we start to see this story unfold. And we're going to jump right to Nehemiah, who will enter the picture right around 445 BCE. And Nehemiah has done well. He's risen up in the ranks. He has a high position in the court of the king, and that allows him to propose this idea, to prayerfully plan and then act to go back and rebuild the city. This dream that he has, a city and a home that he's never been to, a home he's never known, but this hope, this gathering of people together so that in rebuilding the city, rebuilding the walls of the city, they might be the people again who can be that light to the nations. And they work together, and it looks like everything goes well in this community, everyone doing their part to rebuild the walls. Which then brings us to Nehemiah chapter 5. Now there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish kin, against their brothers. The people are crying out. These are the people who have all been working together side by side to build the wall. And while they're doing this work of rebuilding the wall, it's a little bit harder to get back home and to tend to the fields and to the farms and other things. And so as this community undertakes this burden together, those who have less will feel that burden heavier. The work on the wall comes towards completion, but at what cost? At losing, it seems like, everything to them because they've run out of money and you have to pay your taxes to the king. Remember, the king is the one who's even funded back to rebuild this city, rebuild Jerusalem. You don't get out of... They don't just send the IRS to you in the Persian Empire if you don't pay your taxes. So to pay this, they had to go and borrow money. And as they're borrowing money, the wealthy in the area, those who have much, see an opportunity. Ah, when you have much, it's easier to have even more. And so they put this heavy burden, as the people are already struggling, they say, well, we'll loan you that money, but it's going to be at the normal interest rates. And you know what? If you can't afford to pay that, I'm going to have to take your land for now. Or I'm going to have to take this for now. And you know what? Your house that you have there, that's going to be mine. And maybe if you pay me back, I'll give it back. But at least that way, the army isn't being sent to you and you're not dying. Oh, and since you owe me money, your sons will have to work for me. Essentially, they will be slaves working and working until that debt is paid off. And your daughters? Well, it used to be a thing where you would give money back to the family as a daughter joins your family. Well, now they're essentially being acquired as slaves to be married off as slave wives. And all the while, those with much continue to get more and more, even though there are all kinds of biblical regulations saying you're not allowed to do these things to your own people. But you know what? Nothing that they did was illegal. Everything they did was above board. It's what anyone else would do. Why wouldn't we do that? Why should we be different with our finances than the other people who have money? This is just the way of the world. And then we see a little later in the passage this reflection from Nehemiah. He says, the former governors who were before me laid heavy burdens on the people. There was a history already here of oppression. When we look back at the previous chapters and we see people who are upset at Nehemiah for coming here, these other rulers, why are they so upset? Well, because they used to rule over this area. This used to be part of their area. And then they got a little bit more money. And Nehemiah says they were taking a heavy toll there. This is an area and a people who have been struggling. The people who have been surrounding the city who were left behind are probably the poorest of the poor. And the people who have come back have a little bit more. And now we're seeing this discrepancy again amongst God's people. Yes, we gathered together to build. And now that we have our city, we don't need you anymore. Now we will do well. This trouble that we see all around us, even today, is the same as then. It is selfishness. It is looking only to ourselves instead of to others. Who can imagine a world where someone has so much money that they wonder about exploring the stars while within miles of their home? People are starving. The trouble is inequality. That those who start with much versus those who start with less have a big jump start on people. The people all worked together and they all mostly labored together, but while they were doing that, those with much, they didn't really feel the pain of leaving their fields. They still had other people to work for them. But those who had to go back to their farm and couldn't quite be there, even had their wives and daughters working on the farm while the men, or even their wives and daughters rebuilding the wall as we see, who's tending to the fields? We need food. We need money. We need help. And so the inequality continues to play out. They started with less, and now even that little that they have is being acquired by those who have much. And this is how we see the injustice play out. These people who are a people together, who rebuilt together, are not experiencing the joys of their work in the same way. Those with lots are able to kick up their feet and gain more. Those with little will work and work and work and see their children sold off into slavery. A rebuilt city, but at what cost? This heavy burden that the world can put on people. This heavy burden of not only will you have to pay me back with interest, but this heavy level of interest that, you know, even when we are fortunate enough that we were able to buy our first house when we moved here. And I'm very grateful for that. But the amount of money that we pay each month that mostly goes off towards the interest rates, as anyone who knows, that's most of the money. The injustice these people were feeling, they could barely even pay the interest rates. They couldn't pay the interest rates, and then their children are taken from them. This injustice of the world is how one of the ways we see sin play out. Sin, as it enters the world, creates these inequalities. Sin is the things in our world that lead us to death, to despair, to pain, to hopelessness. And just as sin entered into the world, so the sin entered into people, where we continue now to take advantage of the things that we have, destroying creation that has been entrusted to us to preserve, taking advantage of our neighbors, thinking only of ourselves. But we also get to see the hope of justice in this passage. That not everyone thinks the same way. And we'll start off by saying Nehemiah is very well to do. And that's where a lot of this starts from. He is better to do than those other people. And he is not putting that weight of taxes on those other wealthy folk, even as they go and they exact it from their neighbors. So when Nehemiah hears this, he was very angry when he heard the outcry and these complaints. After thinking it over, I brought charges against the nobles and the officials. I said to them, "You are all taking interest from your own people." And I called a great assembly to deal with them. I like that. It's we're all together, but also all the people that you've been taking advantage of, we're all going to gather together and judge this. And I said to them, "As far as we were able, we have bought back our Jewish kindred who have been sold to other nations. In the times where people were struggling before we got here, we have worked to make sure that anyone who is in debt isn't going into slavery. We'll pay their debt so they can go back because we all built this wall together. But now you are selling your own kin, who must then be bought back by us." You're taking advantage of people, and even as we are going out and trying to go in to make things right, you're creating a heavier burden for us to do justly. They were silent and could not find a word to say. I do wonder if having the whole crowd of people there made it harder for them to justify what they were doing. So I said, "The thing that you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in fear of our God to prevent the taunts of the nations and our enemies? Restore to them this very day their fields, their vineyards, their olive orchards, and their houses. And the interest on money, grain, and wine, and oil that you've been exacting from them." They all said, "We will restore everything and demand nothing more from them. We will do as you say." And I called the priests and made them take an oath to do as they had promised. I love that from Nehemiah. "We've made this agreement together, but you're all going to leave. And so now we're going to make sure that there's some heavy level of oaths here before God. I also shook out the fold of my garment and said, 'So may God shake out everyone from house and from property who does not perform this promise. Thus may they be shaken out and emptied.' And all the assembly said, 'Amen,' and praised the Lord, and the people did as they had promised." And this is where Nehemiah reflects, the former governors who were before me laid heavy burden on the people, the history of this. So how does he approach things? "But I did not do so, because of the fear of God. Indeed, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. I did not demand the food that I was allowed to have because of the heavy burden on the people." Nehemiah begins by listening to the outcry of those who are hurt. He doesn't say to them, "Well, you know, you should have thought of that before selling things off and agreeing to those interest rates. Like, you should have known better. Or you should have come to me first. Or you should have. He says, "No, I'll just listen to your pain, and I'll evaluate from there." And he takes this pause moment to reflect and then stands up and names the evil. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, is to name what is unjust. "This is unjust, and here is why." And then he confronts the people who are doing this injustice. He confronts the people who are oppressing others in a very public way. He stands up to them and just says, "This is going to stop with me. Now we're going to turn around. I will stand up, and he has a lot of authority to do this coming from the king. So I'm sure that while it sounds in this story like the people were excited, and maybe some of them were like, yeah, we should do that. It was also, yeah, we should do that, and poof, that Persian army sure is big. We shouldn't upset Nehemiah, because he stands up so that he can live justly. He can live out the justice and make sure that his neighbors experience it as well. The biblical word we sometimes see for this is the word righteousness, which is a great word, but it doesn't really mean anything to us. Righteousness is just us embodying the justice of God in our own lives and in such a way that it positively affects our neighbors. That's righteousness lived out, living justly. But I love in this story that there's this renewed sense of community somehow too. That as the community gathers together, as they praise God together, because they've been set free from oppression, and well, I will acknowledge that the wealthy had to do this probably because of threat of army, but they have also been set free. We see the power of God bringing justice doesn't just set free the oppressed from being oppressed. It sets free the oppressors from being oppressors. It sets them free from living out that unrighteousness, living out that injustice and sin. So what does this mean for us today? Well, what is justice? When Jesus talks about justice and the new hope, he talks about the kingdom of God. This idea that heaven's values become a reality right here on earth. This idea that the kingdom of God is already at hand, it's already here, so we should start living like it today. That's what justice is, living out God's peace, God's rule now. And what will that have to do with me? Well, today we prayed the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, where we say, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That is our part that we live out. As we pray our prayers lead us into action, that we would start acting and loving in such a way that God's will is done in our neighborhood. So how will we do justly? Well, first, let's throw out all legal terms of what's right or not right. Because as we see in this passage, all that those leaders had done, all of the wealthy people had done, was entirely legal. Not only was it legal, but there was a long history of those types of things happening. Just because someone says it's okay to do something to someone else doesn't mean that God thinks it's okay. As I reflect on all of the violence we're seeing in our world, sometimes it brings people despair that I would continue to proclaim it is always evil to bomb people. Well, what about? Each person is made in the image of God. It doesn't matter if we feel justified in enacting revenge or another country or another group or wherever it is on that. That is always injustice. Doesn't matter if the international community might think it legal or not. It is always injustice. And that's the same in our lives as we look around. Justice for us will look like following Jesus. It'll look like moving beyond just what we would call following the Bible to reading the Bible and praying in such a way that it leads us to be more like Jesus, to love people more like Jesus loves, to being more Christ-like. It starts to change us from the inside so that even in those difficult moments when we're shook up, what spills out of us is a more Jesus love than before. Someone once described it as if you're walking with a cup, and when I say that, I always imagine it having coffee. I do. If you're walking with a cup and someone bumps into you and you spill what's in the cup, it's not that person who put that stuff in your cup to spill. It's not that person's fault that you've spilled something just from bumping into you. What that's trying to imagine is what we're putting into our cup, what we're putting into ourselves is what will spill out. It's easy to be loving and nice and dress nicely sometimes on Sunday mornings. But there's many churches that by the time people make their way to the parking lot and try to find their way out, once we get in our cars, that love, that putting on airs kind of dissipates, doesn't it? Jesus calls us to live justly in such a way that we love like Jesus loves. That we don't start looking at another person and asking first, is this person worthy? Is that person worthy of having some money from my pocket who's asking for it? Is that person worthy? No. It's to see that person as Jesus sees them. Someone to be loved first. And love will lead us to listen. To listen to those who are hurting. To not interject with immediate, well, you should have or could have or other, but to listen, to be a good neighbor alongside them in the same way Nehemiah did. Love will lead us through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, to be able to name that which is unjust or unjust, that which is wrong. We can go and say to a friend, that was wrong, that shouldn't have happened to you. That was wrong. You know what? You may have experienced pain at another church, and I'm here to tell you that I'm sorry because I am a person of a church too. And well, deep down, I want to say, well, I'm not like them. What I want you to know is that I am enough like them that I am sorry and I will apologize on their behalf. You shouldn't have been treated that way. That's how we start to name and become part of the solution. And maybe that'll mean going out and confronting the injustice as it happens. Sometimes it's injustice, sometimes the stuff going on in our world is so subtle. In one way that I've experienced it, and maybe this was more so living in another place than here, but frequently it would even come out in the jokes people make, in the comments people make, because if someone is sharing a joke with you, even as simple and basic as that, what that means is they think that it's okay. And sometimes it's hard and it's scary to say, that's not right, that's racist, that's sexist, that's bigotry. I don't want to hear that. But I love you enough to tell you that. And that's just a simple way, but this is what it starts to come from, confronting. Maybe it's sending those letters to our MPs or MPPs saying, no, we want to see justice, we want to see life. And it will involve sometimes standing up. What Nehemiah does is he stands up in such a way that he stands in between the people who are oppressing and the people being oppressed. He puts himself in the way of danger to create that peace. What that looks like for us as Jesus-style peacemakers will be different place to place, but that's what we are called to. That is what living justly will look like, walking humbly with Jesus wherever we go. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. would say, I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. That is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil, triumphant. This is proclaiming the kingdom of God in justice in our times. The Old Testament words of justice will say that there'll be a time where justice will roll on like a river, where things will be made right as this continual flow from God. When we are faced with circumstances where we have to choose between us and them, the church too often chooses us. But Jesus, when faced with us or them, chooses to give himself for them. If it's us or them, then it's us for them. That somehow out of denying ourselves, of giving up what we need, of what looks like defeat, we can see new life sprout up. That even people who were once our enemies, Even the people who were once oppressors would be set free from that hatred and that oppression that is destroying their hearts, that they might turn around and follow along with us. In the wise words of Micah from chapter 6, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Doing justly won't always look like victory for us. As Jesus does justly, he will be killed for doing so. But Jesus knew the cost and did it anyway. To love mercy, a gentleness that is sometimes missing in our weird variations of what Christian, especially Christian manhood, should look like, as if Christian manhood's this weird, tough thing compared to Jesus, who says, let the children come to me. This gentleness of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, this love of Jesus. And then to walk humbly. As Nehemiah said, don't you fear God? Why are you doing these things? As we walk humbly with our God, we no longer start to take advantage of other people or see opportunities to extract everything we possibly can out of a situation. We start to see opportunities to love as Jesus loves us. Nehemiah stands up for justice. And this week, these months, these years, this lifetime for us, as we endeavor to follow Jesus, as we endeavor to love as Jesus loves, will mean that we too will be ready and prepared and to even stand up when the time comes so that we too can stand up for God's justice, for God's new hope, for God's new peace. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are just, that you hear the cries of those being oppressed and hurt, that you hear the cries of the least, that you hear the cries of us, and you continue to have mercy. Soften our hearts to be merciful as you are merciful. And Lord, give us strength to stand up for your righteousness and your justice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We invite you to stand with us as we sing our closing song, Christ Be All Around Me, followed by the benediction.
As I rise, strength of God, go before. Upon eye that sees me. Christ be all around me, above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me. Christ be all around me, yeah. Your life, your death, your blood was shed for every moment, every moment. Your life, your death, your blood was shed for every moment, every moment. Your life, your death, your blood was shed for every moment, every moment. Your life, your death, your blood was shed for every moment, every moment. Above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me. Above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Christ be all around me, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Christ be all around me.
Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May Christ be all around you. May your feet walk in the joy and the peace of Jesus. Go in God's peace. Amen.